oh baby, oh baby, oh baby, oh baby, a Tuesday morning on the morning roast, a day after recapping championship weekend. The Warriors hit the floor today as well, hosting the Utah Jazz at the front end of a back-to-back. And boy, we all know they need to get going. The Warriors are 22-23 right now. The 49ers full swing offseason. Although the higher special teams coordinator, Brent Boyer, whose Jets teams have been really good. His units have been good. The rankings since he took over, 14th, 1st, 8th. We'll get all into it. Kickoff returns, team rankings on return yards and kickoffs and all that stuff. But the Niners starting to figure out their staff, and then they'll get rolling here on an all-season plan. But good morning to everybody out there. Get off the graveyard shift. If you're at work, what is happening? If you're getting ready for work, what's happening? We got a fun show planned for you. Brian Baldinger will join us at 7:30 to recap the championship weekend. And Mike Pereira, Shasky, former vice president officiating in the National Football League and current rules analyst at Fox Sports. And we'll get into some of the controversial plays over the weekend, including the one where it's like, hey, you can be awarded a touchdown if you continue to jump over the line of scrimmage, Washington. I had never heard that one before.
Never in my life.
Never in my life. But we'll talk to Mike Pereira about the obvious spot in Kansas City and the Dalton Kincaid spot and what maybe Buffalo could have done and what we could do in the future about this. But fun show planned here, man. And, you know, it just sucks, man. As Carter walked in and he was just saying, I can't believe we got this Super Bowl matchup. I can't believe we got this matchup. And I can. I can, Chasky.
Well, I was thinking about, like, just the overall legacy of Patrick Mahomes and how rare it is for him to go to this many Super Bowls. And, you know, not a lot of quarterbacks have had the opportunity to be in a position where not only are you an all-time talent, but it feels like you have an all-time coach. You know, it's just very rare. You know, Michael Jordan meets Phil Jackson.
Right.
Michael would have been some version of Michael, but being able to play in that system absolutely accentuated the best attributes of Michael Jordan. You know, Kobe Bryant obviously got to be with Phil Jackson, and I think that accentuated all of his positives. Tim Duncan playing with Popovich and the evolution of Popovich's offense over the years. And, you know, like, sometimes you do get lucky. And I was just thinking about it, like, you know, I love John Harbaugh. I think John Harbaugh's a really good coach. But when push comes to shove, Lamar Jackson is kind of on his own. Most people don't know who his offensive coordinator is.
Right.
When Josh Allen is reeling, he looks over to Doug McDermott. Doug McDermott's a defensive guy,
right?
You know? And it's tough. It's just really, really tough. And who's he going up against? Spagnola.
Yeah.
You got Patrick Mahomes. And in times of crisis, he looks over and not only does he have an offensive guru in Andy Reid, a quarterback specialist in Andy Reid, who's calling all the plays. Mm-hmm. And I think about Joe Montana and Bill Walsh and that synergy between the two of them and how perfect that match made in heaven was. And there are just certain times in life where the right coach meets the right player. Bruce Bochy, Buster Posey. Is there a match made in heaven more than the two of them? And I'm thinking about it like coach, player, you know.
Bill Walsh, Joe Montana.
Dante, is there a better combination in the last 50 years in sports right now? And I know it's prisoner of the moment. Andy Reid.
You get Lombardi, Bart Starr.
Okay.
You get, even though they didn't get along, but Noel and Terry Bradshaw, four championships.
Like, I don't want to dismiss Belichick, Brady.
You get Roger Staubach. You get Tom Landry. Obviously, you get Montana. And you get Bill Walsh. You get Phil Simms and Parcells. You look at some of the stuff in the AFC. Dan Reeves, John Elway doesn't work out. But Mike Shanahan and John Elway works out.
Absolutely.
Brett Favre, Mike Holmgren, they work out together. Although they just won the one Super Bowl, but they advanced it to. You think about Ben Roethlisberger, Mike Tomlin, but he was born in. Mike Tomlin got hired after Roethlisberger started rolling there. And they made great synergy. Then, of course, you got the ultimate with Brady and Belichick. I think Brady and Belichick is number one right now. Montana, Walsh right there, number two. But quickly rising up the charts. And, man, before it's all said and done, it could be Mahomes and Andy Reid.
It's crazy.
It's just seven straight AFC Championship game appearances. It's the greatest start to an individual player career in the history of the league. There's no doubt about that. This guy has his season ends either in the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl. That's been the case for Patrick Mahomes ever since he's been a second-year pro. His rookie year obviously sat behind Alex Smith. They get bounced in the first round. But his season is ended in either the Super Bowl or the championship game. So he's, by himself, had the greatest start to an NFL career in the history of the NFL, in my opinion. And that's not even going back 50 years. I mean, Jim Brown could have done, I don't know, who knows. But right now in the modern game, Mahomes has had the best start to his career. Do you think about Andy Reid? How many losing seasons has he had?
I mean, what, three?
Three losing seasons. I mean, Belichick had the great run in New England. Can't forget about Cleveland when he was fired. And they didn't have a lot of success. Obviously, they moved the team to Baltimore and kind of derailed everything with Art Modell, the former owner of the Baltimore Ravens. Andy Reid is quickly getting his respect as one of the greatest minds. And who knows when this ends? When it ends, he could be higher than Belichick in a lot of people's eyes because of his offensive mind and him evolving with the times. I think he's evolved better than any coach in the modern game.
No doubt, no doubt. And longevity, I mean, I guess in my mind, the person for longevity in the NFL is Don Shula.
Yeah, but he didn't win since the 70s.
I know.
They went to two Super Bowls in the 80s. They lost to Washington at the Rose Bowl. And then they lost to the Niners at Stanford Stadium.
And it felt like they underachieved, right? But I'm just talking about longevity. It's like Shula and then who else?
Well, you got Shula. Belichick. You got Belichick. You got Tom Landry.
Yeah, Tom Landry. Okay. Yeah, Andy Reid's excellence is on a very short list. And I think I might. Like when Belichick and Brady were separating, I was thinking to myself, like, I think most sports fans, no one's ever going to touch that.
Right.
No one. You went 6-for-9 in Super Bowls.
Yep.
6-for-9? And now we're sitting here and I mean, are they going to get to 7, 8, 9, 10?
They might. They might. Well, they got to get this one on two Sundays from now.
Well, obviously.
They've got to get this one. But they've got three. They lost one, obviously, to Tampa Bay. They got blown out in Tampa Bay. That was a tough spot for them. They blew the one against Cincinnati, the AFC Championship game, when they were up 21-3. Think about that. They might get to 7, but they got to get to 4 first. And they've got a hell of a challenge in front of them. But you think about when they're doing it and the competition they're doing it against. Now, the Patriots, when they were making their run, you had Ben Roethlisberger, you had Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Some really good teams.
Yeah.
But we know the Colts were flawed up defensively. And Pittsburgh had their limitations offensively and whatnot.
Yes.
This feels like the Kansas City Chiefs are going through the more complete teams in the AFC East as opposed to the Patriots teams or those Colts teams or their Steelers teams. And what I mean by that is you got Josh Allen. You've got Lamar Jackson. You've got Joe Burrow. And longer down the list, some people believe in Justin Herbert. And then you got Trevor Lawrence, right? And then you got
C.J. Stroud
in Houston, who's doing his thing. So, and Pittsburgh still's got a really good defense, but he's going through some of the elite quarterbacks of the modern game, and he has to go through them over and over and over to get to the championship game, and he does it. And he does it, and he lives through it. So, you could say the AFC West may look a little like the old AFC East when there were some bad teams, but I think the AFC West is starting to get better and better and better. As opposed to those AFC East teams when Buffalo stuck for so many years and Miami hadn't won a playoff game in so many years and the Jets, they had a cup of coffee with Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez. But this run may be more impressive given the competition they have to go through on a year-to-year basis.
It's crazy what I'm watching with these guys. And I don't know, not to turn this into a 49er conversation, but I was just thinking about like when you have the play caller and the quarterback on the same page. Look, it doesn't guarantee that you're going to win. It just doesn't. Like, you know, Sean Payton and Drew Brees were together forever, and they got the one Super Bowl and kind of lost a lot of big playoff games.
A lot of big ones.
But, boy, they won a lot of divisions. they went to a lot of playoffs, and I think it puts you in the mix. And I was just thinking about Shanahan and Brock Purdy. And, look, I have my own reservations on how much Brock Purdy's worth, on how good he can truly be, you know, how sustainable this can be. I have questions on the arm and all that. I still think he's a good player, and I think Shanahan's a really, really, really good coach, and he's going to have to evolve his game over time. That being said, we have a leg up on so many teams in the league just before the season even begins, before I look at any other position on the field. Quarterback, head coach, who's the play caller? And he's a great play caller.
Yeah.
Like, you have such a leg up on so many teams in the league. Just look at the draft as we go right now. There are so many teams, they have no idea who their head coach is. They have no idea who their play caller is. They don't know who their quarterback is. Just eliminate those teams right off the rip. Like, we've got all the big question marks already kind of answered. And so to me, like, as much as I know they have a lot of work to do, the 49ers, and I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the Eagles and I'm saying, God, it's a tall task in one offseason to get back to where, you know, the Eagles are right now. It's a tall task to try to compete with Kansas City. That being said, in one offseason, because they've got some infrastructure in place, they're ahead of the game compared to like a dozen other teams in the league.
Well, you have to ask yourself, when you start building this football team, because they are ahead of a lot of teams.
They are.
Shanahan, you've got Lynch, you've got obviously Warner and Bosa on the defensive side. Offensively, you have to figure it out. McCaffrey, you know, is coming back. But do you re-sign Jordan Mason? You know, Trent Williams is coming back. And I'm one of the few that believes Trent Williams would be motivated to end this on a high note. He ain't letting that money, he ain't leaving that money on the table, too. George Kittle's still playing at an elite level.
Absolutely.
I know I have that. I may have something that Ricky Pearsall. I like what I saw the last month of the season. We'll see about Debo. Is he back? Is he not? Juwan Jennings is a player. I believe the quarterback is a player. But you got to tinker the team, obviously. You got to evolve a little bit. You want to get faster defensively. That's kind of the messaging around the building. Get more athletic defensively, getting quicker like Philadelphia did. They got more athletic with Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell, and it flipped. And then they bring back C.J. Gardner-Johnson from Detroit, who had already been in Philadelphia. He comes back. So now you got three defensive backs that are playing at an elite level, even though two of them are rookies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I asked Niner fans, when you're building this team, you're rebuilding this team, do you build a team to beat your own division, or are you building your team to beat Philadelphia, Kansas City, and Detroit? Because I think we always talk about the Super Bowl division. There's divisions, and then there's the Super Bowl division. And right now in that Super Bowl division, it's Kansas City, Philadelphia, Buffalo, Baltimore. I don't know if you want to throw Washington there, but you got to give them some respect. Detroit, I think, still has a spot there.
Absolutely.
So to me, are you a Super Bowl team or just a divisional winner? Because I think the Niners, when I'm looking at the Rams, the Niners should have won both those games against the LA Rams. And this is just one of those one-off seasons. And they'll, Bonte, they didn't win. They lost them. The first game, they should have won the damn game down in L.A. They controlled most of the football game. They controlled, I thought, the first half of the football game against the Rams on Thursday Night Football. But do they need to build for those Super Bowl contending teams, or do we need to look within our division first and say, you know what, we need to get better against Seattle, Arizona, and the Rams? Because I know the record in the NFC West this year, but I actually feel good about the way the Niners stack up against the rest of the divisional opponents.
It's a really interesting question, you know, like, forever it's like, hey, win the division, then look outside. Wouldn't you argue that Philly and Kansas City are trend-setting in the sense of we're going to dominate in the trenches?
Yep.
Obviously, they've got weapons. I mean, you have Kelsey and you have, you know, A.J. Brown and Devontae. Right. And, like, you've got weapons. It's Saquon. I mean, how can I forget Saquon? Obviously, you've got weapons. But the trenches and the run game and then having stout defensive fronts that can get after quarterbacks and collapse the pocket, how does that go out of style? That works within division and with the big dogs. Yeah. And I think about, you know, Buffalo and that defense, I don't think it got after Patrick Mahomes in that game the way that they wanted it to.
No.
And I look at their run game, they kind of got away from James Cook in some of their special run game that I thought they had during the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
So I always will go to, I'm building my team for the whole conference to try to win in the playoffs. And what wins in the playoffs? Physical defense, run game.
You know,
it always does.
You know,
it
what's
travels.
Funny? You know what's funny?
And then situational quarterback.
Yeah, no doubt. We go through the season, every season, we go through this NFL journey. And we're always talking quarterbacks and wide receivers getting separation, run game, who's explosive. Oh, I need another wide receiver. I need another running back. It always comes down to the trenches and dominating the line of scrimmage and not making mistakes. And when we watch these two teams in the Super Bowl down in New Orleans, it's going to be like, damn, okay, who's not playing well in the trenches? It's probably going to decide the football game. So it decided the football game basically in between Buffalo and Kansas City. One team could get fourth downs, the other couldn't. The other team couldn't get a fourth and one. Whether or not you say the ball was not spotted well, I'll put that on Buffalo. And we'll get into that with Mike Pereira, because I thought they just rushed the entire process and botched it, especially with a 22-21 lead. It was like they were trailing the way they were moving. You're leading the game. Chill out. Just wait a second here. Challenging Kincaid play. So we'll get into that with Mike Pereira. But Also, Philadelphia, they convert third and twos.
Yeah.
They convert fourth and ones. And another thing is, too, is we don't talk about it enough, is stay ahead of the sticks. Staying ahead of the sticks. Are you facing third and nine, Shasky, or are you facing third and three? Are you facing third and 11, or are you facing third and two? These teams, Kansas City and Philadelphia, and even Buffalo, they stay ahead of the chains.
Yeah.
How many times do you see second and four, second and three? Well, the Niners this year was second and nine, second and 10, second and seven. Staying ahead of the sticks in the playoffs is so important.
It absolutely is. And I would say that the one element that I thought both Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts really utilized, especially in those championship games, their legs. You know, their legs. And I think Brock did a good job at times with his legs. I know we had Steve Young on the station last week. Well, I think it was Willard and Dibbs. And he was talking about he wants to see Brock run a little more. I'm kind of with him on that. And I don't mean like run, you know, because he does this spin move where he goes to the left. I'm talking about like just take the free yards that are in front of you, especially when they're going to be in press man across the board. You're going to be able to have free chunk plays underneath. And I think that Jalen does a great job identifying when to run and where to run to, which is to the outside and stay to the sidelines so that he's going up against smaller guys. And then Patrick Mahomes, it felt like it's so random. He felt like in case of emergency, break glass. He hadn't run like that all year.
Right.
And he was running with reckless abandon in that playoff game. I just, the legs of the quarterback are such a weapon. And I feel like Brock has that in him.
Well,
and I'd like to see him utilize that.
See, I heard a lot of Brock's running too much this past season.
I think the pull it down and run in like zone situations.
You want design runs?
There are specific times when they've been in man and it's like, dude, tuck that thing and then take off instead of tuck it and spin backwards.
Right.
I think he used his legs backwards a little too much for me behind the line of scrimmage.
Well, he was one of the more efficient quarterbacks when it came to scrambling.
Yes, he was.
He was top six, top seven in that category when it comes to efficiency while scrambling. So I think Brock has added his game. I think, too, you don't want him just bailing right out of the offensive line at times is just awful.
Was not good.
You've got to improve.
But that goes back to trenches.
You got to improve the offensive line. Like, that's got to be numero uno, number one. Protected your assets.
I did think that when he made that diving touchdown where he stuck the ball out, I think something happened with his back.
Maybe.
Because he just didn't move the same way.
I'll say this, though. I was just looking at some numbers with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Since he's taken over in the regular season, and I know he's missed a few games here and there, but Kansas City overall, they're 90-26.
Oh my God!
They're 90
like the Warriors record with the.
I just can't believe it.
90 and 26. Wow.
Since 2018, they went 12-4, 12-4, 14-2, 12-5, 14-3, 11-6, and 15-2. They're 90-26 in a regular season. That is insane. That's just insanity, and it's not going to stop. All right, more coming up. Baldy 7:30. Mike Pereira 8:30. 888-957-9570 is a number. Do the Niners need to swing a big deal this offseason to maybe be in, I guess, within distance of, within range of the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles as a contender for the Super Bowl? Or do they have a lot of work to do?
I have a six-pack. It's just under the dad bar.
Do they need a six-pack? Do they need that? By the way, tune in for Warriors Live today, presented by Xfinity. It's Stream Sports from the best seat in the house. With Xfinity, bring on the good stuff as Warriors will host the Utah Jazz today in a gotta-have-a-game for the Golden State Warriors. We'll talk about that coming up, brought to you by San Francisco International Airport.